I'm Jim Rome. All right, so we are joined right now by somebody who is actually at the airport, was in line with security, stepped out to do this. He covers college basketball for CBSSports.com. He is co-host of CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, friend of the program, and a man who gets prominent screen time at every Final Four with his Guster is for Lovers laptop. Let's go to Matt Norlander. Matt, what's going on? How are you?
I'm just trying to keep it together, Jim. That's a Guster pun. You might not get it, but I can drop another three or four in before we end this interview.
You should do that.
Pleasure to be with you, and more than happy and willing to step away from the security line here at rather busy Minneapolis Airport.
Nice job, Matt. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. All right, take me back, if you would, to last night's game before tip-off. There was all that doom and gloom about how crappy that game was going to be. Matt, what were your expectations going into the game?
Well, my expectations were an entertaining game, but I actually had Virginia winning 59-56. So what's incredible about what we saw was there was some discussion about the fact that, you know, there wasn't these mega stars. This wasn't the title game people would have expected a month ago. It didn't involve Duke or even Tennessee or Kentucky or North Carolina or any of these teams that were playing so well that, you know, a lot of people were rooting for. But the fact of the matter is they've rated as top five teams in college basketball. Virginia's rated as the best team in college basketball for most of the season. So given that Texas Tech's defense was historic and they still had good athletes, playmakers, oh, by the way, two top 10 picks, I expected it to be a good game, but even then it outstripped expectations. College basketball's on a great tear. Like, Jim, six of the past eight national title games have been good to great to downright epic, and I think last night qualifies as a top 10 championship game in the sport's history.
I agree with you. Matt Norlander joining us. Now, part of the perception that it might not be a great game, Matt, as you point out, was that there weren't actual household names, but you did have at least two top 10 picks on the floor last night. Let me start with DeAndre Hunter. What do you make of the way he played on both ends?
Fantastic. You know, I forgot a little bit of how that game was early. It was 3-2 at the under media timeout, that first one, and Hunter was a little bit of a no-show again. But the way he stepped up, 27 points, a career high, I think he actually solidified. And you know, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but going into last night's game, you know, talk to NBA guys, between him and Culver, a 50-50, a coin flip, a toss-up, I do think that the way that he played throughout and on Culver is going to wind up with him getting picked before Culver in the upcoming draft. But it was awesome for him. And yet Kyle Guy gets the mop, the MOP. I mean, I voted for Hunter, but between him, Jerome, and Guy, that was the best game collectively that trio had played all season, Jim. And it came at the absolute time they needed it most there. And they you know, reinforced something I had been writing about and saying about for most of the season. That was the best trio in college basketball. It was better than any combination you want to give me of the Duke freshmen, three of those four guys. Jerome, Hunter, and Guy had been so reliable, so good all season, and they stepped up in a huge moment. They had, I think, all but five of Virginia's field goals overall last night. So the Hunter three, just another big-time moment. And, Jim, I just can't get over the fact that this Virginia championship has the absurd ending in Louisville, which I was there for the Elite Eight. Auburn, which is nearly absurd. And then, you know, they're down by three. Hunter hits the three with, what, 13 seconds to go? I can't remember a team ever needing that amount of fortuitousness, just being cosmically kissed the way Virginia did, and it makes it all the story all the more incredible, all the more special. And frankly, you cannot find anything in the history of American sports that matches what Virginia's done year over year when you look at the UMBC loss and them coming back and winning 35 out of 38 games to get a title.
It's a really strong statement, and I can't say that I disagree with that. Matt Norlander is my guest. As an example, they had, Matt, one amazing moment after another in those last three games. As you point out, Purdue, Auburn, Texas Tech, moments where they could have folded but didn't. So based on your conversations with people around that program, people around Tony Bennett, how much of that goes back to last year and the loss to UMBC?
Plenty of it. I mean, real quick here, I had a chance to have some good sit-down conversations with Laurel Bennett, Tony's wife, in Louisville and then here in Minneapolis. And one thing that I don't think a lot of people realize was after the UMBC loss, you know, Tony had the great interview about the man in the arena and when you step in, anything can happen and all that. But, you know, the players, they were brought back to their team hotel. They were snuck in through a side door. There was a whole big circus with all that. And then they all were brought to their rooms individually by police officers, and it made the whole thing just seem all the worse. And so in the days and weeks after that, Tony and Laurel had a lot of conversations about what the loss was, how it would and would not affect them, how it wouldn't help define what Virginia was. Now, from the outside looking in, it always was going to. And in light of this victory, it makes the story even better, if that's somehow even possible. But the resolve that the players had, Kyle Guy's been open about his anxiety and some of the issues that he's had that stem from that loss. It has helped define a story that is too surreal for any movie and really too perfect for any documentary. You know those are coming, the documentaries, the books. The way the team handled everything this season, not just winning, like, Jim, this was easily – I understand that Duke beat them twice, but every metric has said Virginia's the best team in college basketball for months. So to come back from that and then win the title the way they did, it is unreal. I believe it happened, but still on a certain level, man, like they should have been out after the Sweet 16, yet they somehow keep pushing through and pushing through and pushing through.
Matt Norlander joining us. And back to that point one last time, Matt. I mean, it's one thing to lose to a 16. It's one thing to suffer that kind of humiliation and pain, but they didn't just lose to a 16. They got hammered by a 16. And then, as you point out, within 1 year, they bounced back to win the whole thing. What's that say about Tony Bennett as a leader?
I mean, so much. I said this last year when they lost. There was no coach that was better equipped mentally to handle that defeat in the entire sport than Tony Bennett. I mean, he was incredible with that, and he brought a ton of perspective throughout this tournament, because as you would expect, Jim, like the every press conference, not everyone, but just about everyone in the tournament, you'd have a UMBC question of sorts. And a couple of times, the questions, frankly, they got a little melodramatic, just talking about, like, yeah, it's a historic loss, but Tony was like, listen, it's just a game. Like, there were times, his wife was telling me last year, where people were asking, like, you know, did you go into a dark room and just bury yourself away for 3 days? And it was like, no, like, there are so many actual real-world problems, dire issues. Like, yeah, from a career perspective, it's a notorious and infamous loss, but we're going to be just fine. We're going to have our faith, and we're going to be – his faith in God really has played a major part in this. He's an extremely religious man, and actually I'm sure the cameras caught it last night. I obviously didn't see the broadcast, but when the game hit triple zeros after it went overtime ended, Bennett, he just kind of dropped his head. You know, he just stood there for a minute, sat there on the stool for a moment, and eventually his coach came over and hugged him, and I talked to him afterward about the game about that. He said, I was just giving thanks to the man upstairs. You know, I don't know why we had to go through what we went through, but I don't know if I deserve this, but I had to give thanks in that moment for something that to be a part of something so incredible. Very humble, very deserving. He's been regarded as a top 10 coach in college basketball for a few years now, but I don't think a title is necessary to validate that, but validate it will nonetheless. And yeah, Virginia's just one incredible story.
Right, and we could stop with all that garbage about how this guy's system does not work or he can't coach in the tournament because he proved that he can. One last thought, Matt, before I let you go. Various outlets are now reporting that Mick Cronin to UCLA is official and it's going to happen. How about a snap reaction? How do you feel about that fit for him and for them?
That, I think, is a good fit for him. UCLA fans are going to be frustrated. I'll get a quick thought on Mick, but as for the search has been a disaster. The opening came on New Year's Eve when they got rid of Alford, and then they had the interim situation, and they've had so many guys that have turned down the job, so much that has leaked out. It has not been handled well. Dan Guerrero, the athletic director, has tried to get, you know, big name after big name after big name, failed consistently. Mick Cronin, you know what? He's only one of six coaches to go to 9 straight NCAA tournaments. The problem that UCLA fans are going to have is that he's made 1-16 in that run, but he's not media averse. Coaches a really effective system. It's not like, by the way, it's not like Tony Bennett, but it is. He could be for UCLA to a certain degree what Bennett has been for Virginia. So I think that potential marriage could work well. And for Mick, you know, to leave Cincinnati is not going to be easy for him. It was going to take a job like UCLA, and I think there's good potential there, but I think he's also, it's unfair, but I think he's going to be behind the eight ball just a little bit because of how long the search took, because everyone knows that he wasn't the first, second, third, or fourth choice. We'll see how that winds up turning out, but that's, I believe, I'm talking off the top of my head here, Jim, but I think that's the last big job to open in college basketball, at least for now.
Matt Norlander, senior writer at CBS Sports, stepping out of security to join us on the way back home. Matt, really good to have you on. Thanks so much, and a great job as always.
Thank you, Jim. And remember, Guster, it's for lovers.
Guster is for lovers, bro. It absolutely is. Whatever the hell that means. Now I know what that means. Guster is for lovers. It's on his laptop. Matt Norlander did a great job. All right, when we come back, UCLA fans, Mick Cronin was not the first choice. Not even the second choice or maybe third choice, but is he the right choice? I like it. I'm a big Mick Cronin guy. I like it. But I agree, that search itself could not have been handled any worse than it was.